This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
High snap. Prescott pulls it in out of the gun. Sidearm pass is intercepted at the 29-yard line, and there's the takeaway by Gilmore covering Cooper.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. That was the call. You get it right here. Every Cowboys game, you got the pre- and post-game show with Ari Temkin and Brian Broaddus over the weekend as well. That analysis in your ears. A lot of people kind of freaking out that a fan would call for Michael Irvin to be the head coach of this team. It would be entertaining.
Why not?
It would be entertaining, and that's the frustration that everybody's feeling today. 877-881-1053. And let's go to cut 14. Jerry feels the same frustration with this Cowboys team right now.
It is a significant setback for our team. We needed this win. We needed to win against an opponent like this. We haven't had them, and consequently, we're very aware of that.
They are very aware of it at this point, Kevin.
But, okay, I'm not.
Can anything be done?
I see, but I'm not disputing that. But, what good does that do? Like, did you go in there going, hey, we have to win this game? And they're like, all right, let's kick a bunch of field goals. Like, I mean, okay, so you're aware of that. Are you? And you're going to do what? Just like you're aware that you need to win this game. But right now, the Cowboys are 0-4 against teams with winning records. Do I hope they beat the Bills? Well, of course I do. But just right now, what evidence is there presented to you to make you think that's going to happen?
I don't think there is. And I think that's what Jerry is saying is, I need to see the evidence. I need to see the evidence that leads me to believe that we can salvage this season before it is not, does not exist. Because how many times, Kevin, have you seen the same thing happen regular season for failure in the playoffs?
25 years.
So you can blame that on Jerry. There was an extensive amount of time that Jerry will take the brunt of the load for that, brunt of the blame for what went on. Because he'll say, yes, I didn't do good enough adding the best coaches. I didn't do good enough adding this. But right now, he's done the right job of getting the talent on the field. I will take my hands off and get Will McClay as much power as he needs to give me the players. I'll let Steven make some executive decisions whenever it comes to working with these guys and who to keep around and who not. But I think at this point, there's a little bit of, okay, I've done everything I need to. Let's talk with Steven Jones right now here on 105.3 The Fan. Steven, welcome today.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
We could be better, I know you feel that way too, right?
Yeah, that was a tough one to swallow yesterday. I think we really thought we were prepared and could go in there and, figure out a way to win that football game. But, unfortunately, we you can't lose that turnover battle. Count the block kick 2-0 and expect to come away with a win, and unfortunately that ended up probably being the difference in the game.
Now, Steven, after the game, Jerry was pretty heated, and I wonder if that sentiment is kind of shared across the board within the Cowboys organization right now.
Well, I just think anytime you lose a game like that, and we just had a tough day on the special team side of the ball. I know Keith takes a lot of pride in getting our guys prepared, but we had it's pretty obvious to anyone watching that we didn't have one of our better days. If you take the block kick, a couple of muff kicks, and then the punt situation there between the third and fourth quarter where we took a couple penalties and lost some, pretty serious field position there. It was just, not one of our better days, but we've had that type of day on offense and had those days before on defense, and we rebound and respond, and Keith and his group will do the same.
Is there a particular game that you feel like you can point to show a standout effort by the special teams? Because I've seen standout efforts from the defense, seen standout efforts from the offense. I guess I'm kind of struggling to think of a standout game from the special teams where they made the difference in a positive way.
Well, we've just got to move forward from this game and look for ways to be better. I think we've got some good players that can be dynamic between Tavon and Cobb and Pollard. And we've just got to get back to the execution phase of it and make some plays. know, obviously we had a couple games there where our kicker kicked a couple 60-yarders that made a difference. And, you know, we just have to continue to, you know, work at this and execute. And I think we've got the players that will continue to get better.
Oh, Steven, that's a word that I think there is a sentiment of frustration. And execution is a real thing. Seeing a quarterback make a pass, seeing a guy make a kick, seeing a defense make that stop when they need to. And I'm wondering what you guys, whenever it's discussed, what is execution? Is it the preparation of fundamentals? Is it mental discipline? Is it mental toughness? What do you guys consider is one of the keys? Or have you ever had that discussion with what's the key to execution?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's all the above. I mean, obviously, if you're, you know, execution is going through a drive and making first downs on third down, making first downs on first and second down. It's making tough plays, making contested plays. It's ultimately having success on offense. That's getting the ball in the end zone, scoring touchdowns. On defense, that's getting the other team out. And when put in tough situations, maybe holding them to field goals rather than touchdowns, which unfortunately we didn't get the job done yesterday. Brady made a nice pass to his receiver on the back shoulder there. And, you know, they come away with a touchdown rather than a field goal, which is huge in that game. And, you know, very tough conditions. And then, of course, on special teams, you know, the biggest thing is not making mistakes and negative plays and penalties and those type of things that give you the negative field position. Of course, in a game like yesterday where conditions are very difficult, especially for the offensive side of the ball, field position's everything. And, you know, when you're, you know, having, you know, get a couple first downs and you got to punt it away in a game like that, you hope you're gaining field position every step of the way. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's, you know, our definition of, you know, what you would call execution, you know, at a top level.
You just brought up an excellent point about, you know, sometimes holding another team to that field goal as opposed to giving up the touchdown. And I know yesterday with the conditions might make it a little different. But in general, I'm curious, what do you think about Garrett's philosophy or the team's philosophy about sometimes maybe going a little harder after that 7 points? Or do you ever feel like perhaps we settle for the field goal a little bit too quickly?
You know, in a game like yesterday, obviously field goals were huge, and because there weren't going to be a lot of points scored. But you know, obviously, you know, when you're nearing the end of the game and you're seeing that it's going to be very difficult to score touchdowns, we're in there, you know, first and goal from the 11. Then you know, certainly there's going to be second guessing, and you know, when you're the head coach, that's what happens. And certainly, we would have liked to have come away there, you know, with a touchdown when you get that opportunity against a, you know, a team that's been very stingy in terms of giving up touchdowns in their stadium there. And, you know, they're one of the top defenses in the league. You want to figure out how to punch it in right there. But, you know, unfortunately, we went to second and three, and then we threw it twice and had incompletions. And, you know, you certainly see where fourth and seven's not, even in good conditions, is a difficult conversion. And, you know, the bigger question there is, could you have set it up for a shorter type of third, fourth down conversions? But, you know, if you're always going to complete either one of those passes, then, you know, you're certainly saying, boy, what a great play call, and that was the right thing to do. So everything gets second-guessed when you're on the wrong end of one of these games.
Yeah, that makes sense. Steven Jones with us on the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Do you feel like you're getting the best you possibly can from your coaching and your coaching staff?
I do. I know they work. I mean, you know, Jason Garrett's finest quality of all is his work ethic, and he demands that from his coaches. And, you know, we just have to continue to move forward and, you know, at some point, you know, get that ball rolling our way. Certainly last year with the, you know, similar type staff, you know, we won all these close games, and we got on a big streak, and we won 7 in a row, and we're able to win all the close games. And unfortunately, this year we're not getting that job done with the same staff. But certainly we've got a chance to right the ship here, a great chance to right the ship here. And we've just got to get on a streak here. And as we said, we got to execute. We got to make the plays when we need to. And, unfortunately, we hadn't done that, when we've been in these close games, against good football teams. We hadn't been making, hadn't been executing and making those plays at the right time.
Stephen, how much weight do you put on and for the future of this team, the future of the way this team looks? How much weight do you put on postseason success as opposed to regular season?
Well, I think it all, at the end of the day, you are what you are, and I think that's the key here, is that, the key is you got to get in the tournament, as Bill Parcells used to say, and then once you get in the tournament, then you're going to be judged. I mean, we've had some teams with some great records, 13-3s, and, then you get in the playoffs and you don't have success, then you're basically judged how you end the season. And I'm sure this team's going to be judged the same way, which is, one, you got to get in the playoffs, and then, if you're fortunate to do that, then you've got to have success in the playoffs. And certainly, Jerry said it, I've said it, we want to take the next step this year, and we certainly can still do that. We're still first place in our division. We've got to go, get on a run right now and make the plays that we need to make to win the games that we need to win our division, and then we've got to go have success in the playoffs.
Now, as far as that next game and the opportunity to turn it around comes Thursday against the Bills, and I understand the importance on the field. I'm just curious for you and the family as well, what is the importance of hosting that Thanksgiving game and all the spectacle that comes along with it? What does that mean to you guys?
Well, it's a special day for our family. Obviously, first and foremost, you want to go out there and win the football game. But our involvement with the Salvation Army, in particular my mother and sister, spent a large part of their life and dedicated a lot of time to the Salvation Army and what it means. And certainly that's a celebration there at Thanksgiving in terms of really kicking off the Red Kettle campaign for the holidays. And, it's a very special game for our fans. It's a special game for our team, and it's a special game for our family.
Now, Frank Gore just moved into third all-time on the NFL rushing list, and my co-host doesn't think that he's a future Hall of Famer. That's a that's a big deal, right, Stephen? Like, that's Hall of Fame worthy, isn't it?
No question. I mean, Frank Gore, what he's been through, we all remember his horrific injury there when he was about to come out his senior year at Miami or his junior year, whatever year he was coming out, with the really rugged knee injury and all the things that he's overcome to have the career that he has. He's certainly, I think, Hall of Fame worthy, and we're going to have our hands full with him when he comes in here on Thanksgiving.
How much more prestigious do you think the Hall of Fame could be if someone as rigid as me was running it? I might not let anybody into the Hall of Fame.
I still think Jerry'd be in.
Oh, I mean, we're going to have him on Friday, so I better say he'd be in the Hall of Fame or else he might cancel.
He might not get on, so you better give him a little vote of confidence right now.
All right, well, Jerry, if you're listening, you belong in the Hall of Fame. Frank Gore does not.
Oh, my gosh!
Well, we appreciate the time.
Don't appreciate that.
Good. And we appreciate you coming on for better or worse and visiting with us every single week, Stephen.
I appreciate you guys. Take care.
Stephen Jones and Corey, you asked the question that I think got the answer that if people were listening, that's the answer that they're going to want to hear.
Stay patient. I know it's frustrating. Stay patient during the regular season. The outcome of the playoffs is what's going to matter the most to this team.
I mean, I heard him loud and clear, and people will say that I'm speculating. I don't think so, because he said, but at the end of the day, you are judged by what you do in the playoffs. And we said at the beginning of the year, we're prepared to take the next step. And I think the implication, as has been the case most of the year, was very clear right there.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And you know what? I think if you're coaching in that manner of, hey, let's get to there first, the regular season is a way. And I think Bill Belichick does a really good job of building his team throughout a season, working their way up whatever the mountain is, if that's the analogy you want to use. I think he does a really good job of growing to get better by the end of the year. And if the Cowboys are almost on their way to something like that, they can make a difference and make some more noise at the end of the year, despite how frustrating the first part of the season is. But so far in the history of Jason Garrett, it has not proven to be fruitful whenever you get to that point. And that's where I think that, you know, that's where Jerry Jones and Steven, you could hear from that, have set the line and set the boundary. We want to go to the next place. If they don't, you'll be seeing somebody new. That's just what I hear from it all. And
no, absolutely.
I did feel like, you know, they love the work ethic of their head coach. You know, that's something they like about him. As somebody just said from the 914, JG's best quality should be his coaching, not his work ethic.
Oh, man, that's a great point. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Mickey Spagnola right here in your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors alongside my co-host Kevin Hagelin. We got Shippy in studio as well here on 105.3 The Fan. We're also joined by Mickey Spagnola, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, doing all right?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're thawed because we weren't in the weather that you were in last night. Was it freezing up there for you?
It was just miserable. Thank goodness I was indoors for the vast majority of everything. So I was thankful for that. But I don't remember watching a game that was played in such miserable conditions in quite some time.
It is cold and wet the worst? Like, because snow looks fun, right?
No. Oh, snow would have been welcomed, right? and don't forget the wind that was gusting over 20 miles an hour. So I'm sure you could see it on TV. The rain, it was like a heavy mist, and then it was just blowing sideways. From, as they say on television, from left to right on your screen, you know. And, it was pretty miserable going that one direction into that very gusting wind.
Mickey, after the game, did the locker room seem different than it has this season? Did it seem a little more confused as to what was going on?
No, I don't think they were confused. I think they were frustrated. I think they were certainly disappointed that you went up there and played 60 minutes in that mess, and then you lose by 4 points to what everybody, you know, claims, you know, the champs, the 9-1 Patriots, the GOAT at quarterback, the greatest coach ever coaching the team. And you were right there if you didn't make two glaring mistakes, and I'll classify them as turnovers because I think a blocked punt's a turnover. And handing them 10 of their 13 points.
In terms of the special teams, I certainly understand that the Patriots, as you were just alluding to, they continually excel at special teams. Has there been any particular time this season, or I guess over the last several seasons, where you felt like the Cowboys have excelled consistently on special teams? Because I feel like we have this conversation quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't think so. You can go back to last year and, you know, Tavon Austin had a couple nice punt returns when he was healthy. Here's the downside of, you know, using rookie as your kickoff returner and, you know, just using so many young guys on kickoffs and kickoff returns that sometimes they don't think clearly on things. Look. What they did on special teams, they blocked a punt, right?
Yeah.
And did you guys go back and look at it?
I did not see where the protection
broke. So it wasn't
broke,
anything fancy.
Okay.
Their 7-time Pro Bowl special teams player, Matthew Slater, basically beat Joe Thomas's block. And he's fallen down backwards, and he reaches out with his right hand and basically backhands the block, right? So I don't know what you would have done differently there. Maybe you say, oh, that guy's real good. We're going to double team him. But then if you do that, somebody else is coming free. So basically, You know, at first I said, oh, they must have overloaded that spot and they sent two guys in. You could only block one. Well, that ain't what happened. The guy just came in and he defeated the block and blocked the punt. And basically, if you look at it, you handed them a touchdown, right? Because they got the ball at the 12-yard line, two plays, scored the only touchdown of the game. You know, who knows? There may have been no touchdowns in that game whatsoever had they not gotten that possession at the 12-yard line. So I thought that was obviously the key play, and then you handed them three more points with the interception. You know, and they won by four. You gave them 10 points on two turnovers that you knew going into the game, playing that team with that defense, that you could not make any mistakes whatsoever. And those two were glaring mistakes, and you just it's just hard to win. And then at the end, on the kickoff that they mishandled, coming down for that final possession, they're kicking into the wind. And the reason why they were is you had the choice at halftime because they deferred, so you got the ball first, so you're going to get the ball in the second half. And the Cowboys chose to make sure that they were kicking into the wind in the third quarter and then would have the wind at their back in the fourth quarter. Well, great, and that meant they were kicking into the wind, and it was a stiff wind. And there's no way that guy was going to kick the ball into the end zone. So, to me, Tony Pollard, they should have lined him up at the 10 or 20-yard line and you know, be ready to catch the ball while you're close to it instead of running full speed trying to come up and catch it. And I think they thought they had that covered by having Olawale kind of the short guy to catch it if it was short. And then I don't know if Pollard called him off because he was right there and then he stepped aside and then Pollard kind of runs into it. And in that weather, with that wind, there's no way you're going to catch that thing cleanly if you're running full speed ahead because chances are it's going to bounce off you, which it did, and then now you're starting at the 11-yard line.
Not used to seeing the kind of outing from Amari Cooper that we saw, but we kind of knew that there was going to be a plan to take him out of the game. What did they do to execute it so well?
Well, yeah, I think Gilmore was good. I think he had two catches called back by penalties, and they were like really significant catches, but there were penalties called. And then, you know, the last one, boy, he almost had it, a great catch, right? And then he got eliminated by review. So he nearly had three. I think the Cowboys' leading guy had four. So it wasn't like it was a great passing day. But, yeah, give Gilmore credit, you know, and that was a great interception, diving like that. But, you know, it was sort of a bad decision on Dak's part because he tried to throw the ball sidearm.
Yeah, that was bad.
Okay, and he's moving to his right. And so I was telling the guys this morning, if you've ever thrown anything sidearm, the ball's going to go left on you, mm-hmm. right? Because that's where your follow-through goes.
Yep.
And he was trying to lead Cooper to the right, and the ball just was a little bit behind him, which was just enough for him to make a diving interception. And that play started off bad because it was a high snap, if you remember, and he had to one-hand it to be able to catch it, to stop it and then catch it, so the timing was off. And now you're getting rushed and you're, you know, kind of running to the right and, you know, you try to make a play and it didn't work. But those two plays, that interception and that block punt, changed the entire complexion of the game.
In terms of preparation for this week, how does the schedule change and get compressed, since obviously you're looking at a significantly sooner kick time than usually Sunday?
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, by time we landed, I think it was like 1:15, 1:20, so no one got home before 2 o'clock. Although a lot of those guys sleep on the plane, you know, and it was like 3:30, 3:45 plane ride. So he'll bring them in later today. Try to keep them off their feet as much as possible. And I would imagine today's kind of a glorified walkthrough. And then you have one practice tomorrow, and then you go light on Wednesday. And, yeah, it's nothing new. The guys that have been here are used to that. So I think the key thing is to just kind of get their legs back underneath them because normally, you know, and if you talk to guys, normally bodies come around during a normal week on Thursday. Well, you ain't got time for that because you're playing on Thursday. So it's quick. But the good thing is you're playing at home. The bad thing is that you had to play about as far away from home as a road trip would be, in a late afternoon game. And then you get back, and, you know, like I said, you know, probably guys, you know, and I don't know if they just show up at home and go to sleep. You know, it takes me a while to wind down. I can imagine them too. So, but they could sleep all day. They didn't have to be in at 9:20 for radio on 105.3 The Fan, right?
Travis did. He had to be on for.
did he really?
Yeah, he comes on at 10:40 with us. So.
He didn't say anything to get fined, though, so that's good.
Boy, he was real careful, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Mickey.
Talk about being politically correct. Yeah, and we even got into the BS tripping calls.
Yeah, I am curious. You've heard Jerry talk before. Whenever he has this kind of heated feeling about what's going on and makes those kinds of comments after the game, what's going through his mind?
I'm sure he was frustrated. I mean, I think he saw an opportunity there that, you know, had you played a clean game, you could have won. Right? You know, if you don't get a punt blocked, and, you know, you had a chance to win that game. There was only one touchdown scored in the game, right? And that's how it happened. So, yeah, I'm sure there was some frustration there because I still think he believes the talent on this team is better than the 6-5 record. But that's who you are, and you just got to kind of go forward and – you know, it's kind of hard to change anything, you know, if you're referring to coaching staff, you know, in midstream like this. So, you got to be better. But I understand his frustration. And I'm sure, you know, the fans are frustrated. I'm sure the guys are frustrated. You know, they don't take losing easily, especially when you're that close and you put on that kind of effort in conditions like that. I mean, you know, think about it. They had more total yards than the Patriots. They had more rushing yards than the Patriots. They had more passing yards to the Patriots. Dak had more completions than Tom Brady. Didn't get sacked. They got sacked twice. But again, the two turnovers end up separating all those stats that you want to talk about from winning and losing.
All right, Mickey, we really appreciate you, man. We'll talk with you on Wednesday, okay?
Okay. Oh, that's right. I was going to say talk to you tomorrow, but, yeah, Wednesday, well, kind of a pregame show for the game on Thursday.
Yeah, huh? We'll be doing Peace-a-thon, too.
That's our charity show.
Oh, so. Very good. Well, yeah. I'll be glad to join you and get you ready for Thanksgiving Day.
Yes, sir.
Sweet. Thanks, Mick.
All right, see you guys.
And, Kevin, I did want to go because there is some happiness going on around here.
Thank God.
And that is that. Let's go to cut 40 here, Shippy. There is some happiness because we have this player that Kevin has, I think, maybe moved into his top 43. God. But I'm not quite sure because he does stuff like this.
Both teams averaging almost 118 a game. And off a turnover, Lucas slams it home to put Dallas on the board.
How high can you move him up, Kevin? He now has 30 points in 4 straight games, 30 and 10. I know he missed out on some rebounds in a couple games.
Yeah, those are effort plays.
Kept him from getting a double-double or a triple-double every single night. But this guy is pouring it on. The Mavericks are on fire right now, having scored 135 points plus in the last 3 games. And you know what? We talked about the defense. Oh, man, this defense might not be that good. At this point, it doesn't matter because they're just like, catch us. I dare you.
Here's something I did not think would happen all year long. Tomorrow, the Clippers are on the road against the Mavericks. The Mavericks are 54% favored to win.
I thought you were going to say 54-point favorites.
No, no, no. They're 54% favored to win, which is truly astonishing. The Clippers are the odds-on favorite to win the NBA championship. And yet, even close to full strength, they will be underdogs against the Dallas Mavericks. That is freaking wild to me. But the Mavericks they've just been absolutely outstanding. The fact that they are already 11-5 is impressive given how slow a start they've gotten off to in the last couple of years. And now all the people were like, yeah, maybe they could host a playoff series. And I kind of scoffed at that. And we'll see if it all shakes out like that.
Dude, they're third right now. This is great.
No.
They were third the last time I looked yesterday.
Okay. They're tied for fourth and fifth. But still,
they have 2 spots.
It's early. It's early in the season, but the fact that they are like not only firmly in the playoff position, but as of now, I would be shocked if they didn't make the playoffs, even though we're only a fifth of the way in.
Yeah, no, and the other thing too is, you know, last night They got help. It wasn't just Luka pouring it on. I think you had 31 points from Tim Hardaway Jr.
I'm telling you, man.
Kristaps had a double-double.
If Hardaway ever finds a consistent level of efficiency, this team is going to be really awesome. If you got any, like, if you got anything near that level of consistent offensive production and efficiency from Tim Hardaway Jr., this team will win in the playoffs.
You were three rebounds away for Kristaps against the Cavaliers on Friday from him having five straight double-doubles. We talked, or I think six straight, because we talked about him getting four straight, and that was the most he's ever had in his career. And you were three rebounds away on Friday from him having six straight double-doubles.
And what happened last night? He had 13. And the more important thing about that, too, is you were still out-rebounded by the Rockets, but it was close enough. And I've said this all along. If the Mavericks are an average rebounding team, an average defensive team, I think this Mavericks team could do a lot of damage. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we go around the NFC East. Just wait until you hear what the bookies think about the Cowboys Thanksgiving game. I think you might be shocked. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, there's a lot to know, especially as the Cowboys lose another one, and that's frustrating enough right now. But how's the rest of the NFC East faring? Kevin, I contend this. I say this. I continue to push the idea. I know nobody cares because you already lost to the Patriots.
Right.
But the championship for the NFC East is going to come down to Eagles-Cowboys. Is that a day the Cowboys let them back in? Or is that a day that they put them away and say, okay, now we can focus on the playoffs in front of us? You obviously want to get the opportunity to have an extended lead so you don't have to worry about those games. The Cowboys just don't like that theory. They're like, nope, let's play them all close. Here we go, Kevin. Let's go around the rest of the NFC East and rumble through the East.
I know it's normally choose your own adventure, but this is like never happened this year. So we're going to start with the Redskins.
Never say never, Kevin.
Because the Redskins are the only NFC East team that won this weekend. That's weird. So the Redskins registered a 19-16 win over the Lions in a game that was every bit as terrible as $4 tickets would lead you to believe. It was the first home victory for the Washington Redskins since week 7 of 2018.
Oh.
They had been 0-5 this year at home. While the Lions came into the game 1-3-1 on the road, so you know something had to give, and it was the talent level of both teams.
What about Jeff Driscoll?
Yeah, Jeff Driscoll was a robust 20 for 33 for 207 yards, got them all a 16 points. The Washington Redskins win.
He almost led the team in rushing again, Kevin.
That's
except for Bo Scarborough, almost cracked 100 yards.
My goodness. Making us regret not making... Well, we're probably fine. Except when the Redskins won, their starting quarterback was not on the field. He tried to climb up into the stands to leave the franchise for good.
Whoa!
Or...
Wow, smart move.
Or he was taking a selfie with another fan instead of being there to end the game and kneel the ball down. So they sent Case Keenum out there.
Send two pictures from your cell phone. Ooh.
And this is the funny thing. This is Dwayne Haskins' first ever victory as a starting quarterback, and he wasn't out there to finish the rest of the game and kneel down the ball to win. He said, quote, "I was so hyped I broke a water bottle. I look up and we're in victory formation. I thought the game was over already, but I'll get that next time."
Cool.
Now,
man... Again, that team is in such disarray. It makes sense that that would happen.
So, Joe Theismann tweeted out, "How do you miss the last snap of a game because you're taking selfies? That's unprofessional
yes!
and wrong."
Agreed.
The guy he took the selfie with said, "Okay," and posted the picture of him and Dwayne Haskins together.
Hold on. Like, he didn't want to take the selfie, or are you talking about Theismann?
No,
like what Theismann said.
Like he responded to Theismann with the picture and of how excited he was and how happy Dwayne Haskins was and was like, okay. Ugh.
All right. I mean, that makes sense. You got to be out there, dude. I love when players love being around fans. I get it. but you have one job on that day, and that is to be the quarterback for your team, not the quarterback in the stands.
Dwayne Haskins was really good at his job to start the day. Thank you very much. He completed 7 of 20 passes for 88 yards.
That's almost 30%.
Whoops. So, do you want to go from
they
there?
They won, though, Kevin. It's not about your completion percentage. It's about your wins.
I absolutely agree with
quarterback
that.
Wins is a stat that everybody abides by.
Oh, my goodness. Do you want to go with the Giants, the Cowboys, or the Eagles?
Eagles, Kevin.
This is a weird story. So, Doug Peterson confirmed that Brandon Brooks left the Eagles game yesterday with anxiety issues. So he experienced anxiety issues for the first time in a game in 3 years. He's had them before, but like I said, it's been 3 years. The Eagles, of course, lost to the Seahawks. I think that might have been the only game we actually bet on. And we told you to take Seattle. Seattle was victorious 17-9. By the way, Seattle 6-0 on the road this year.
You mind if I read what Brandon Brooks said?
Sure, go for it.
He said, I'd like to address what happened yesterday. Woke up, did my typical routine of morning vomiting.
Wow.
It didn't go away like it normally does, but I figured it would calm down once I got to the stadium. It did, but I felt exhausted. The nausea came back. I tried to battle through it, went for the first drive. The nausea vomiting came back until I left the field. I tried everything I could to get back for my teammates, but wasn't able to. Make no mistake, I'm not ashamed or embarrassed by this, nor what I go through daily. I've had this under control for a couple of years, had a setback yesterday. The only thing I'm upset about is whenever the team needed me, I wasn't able to be there. Wakes up every morning and vomits for anxiety? That's terrifying.
Yeah, so Jeff and I, we did the thing for Intercom Radio about the mental health issues we talked about before, and mine has always been kind of OCD, and like I've never had an issue quite to that level, but for the longest time before I got some medication, my big thing was I had to touch everything 4 times. Like, I don't know why, I just had to touch everything 4 times, and I remember I got in trouble with my mom when I was younger because there were like all these fingerprints over one of the door overhangs. And she goes, you need to stop doing that. And I had just had a look at her, and I said, I can't.
Ooh.
And I just didn't know what else to say because I was getting in trouble for something I felt like I couldn't control. And I'm sure there's some people, probably, especially given it's in Philly, probably some jerk yelling about how he needs to be mentally tougher and all that and be in the game. But, I mean, good for him for speaking out about the issue. I appreciate that. Guys, let's go to Carson Wentz from there. He will undergo additional tests on his hands. He will not get additional hands. He will undergo additional tests on his hands.
How many additional hands would you want?
2.
Huh. Not just 1.
Yeah. Because I need the balance.
Okay. Otherwise, the OCD is going to kick back in.
Exactly. So
then you can touch more things on the way out of the door.
Man. 16. That's a math and an OCD joke for all of you out there. So I'm not afraid of talking about it either. So for Carson Wentz, he got x-rays on his hand last night. The x-rays were negative, but just as a precautionary method, he'll undergo more tests on his hands. And this is about the time of year where he usually gets hurt. So, you know, might as well. He had 3 fumbles yesterday, lost 2 of them, and had 2 more interceptions.
Were you suggesting that he go ahead and get hurt now? Is that what you just said?
No, I'm suggesting that theoretically this is usually when he gets hurt. So they're just running the test just in case they're like, you know, this is the time where you usually get hurt.
If we want to go ahead and, you know, throw our season away.
I am not suggesting that they're going to do that. I'm just suggesting that this is normally when he would get hurt. All right, guys, you want to go with the Giants or the Cowboys?
Cowboys.
All right, the Cowboys lost to the Patriots yesterday. I don't know if that's breaking news for you, Corey. The Patriots won 13-9. That ensures that the Patriots will reach at least 10 wins for the 17th straight year. That is insane.
That's consistency, and it's good consistency, you know? It's not like you're consistently 8-8, or, you know, this is, it's, how much do you give the credit to the division being bad or Bill Belichick being a great coach?
I'm going to say 68% to Belichick, 30% to the division being bad and 2% to Tom Brady.
Okay. I mean, Tom Brady deserves that much at 2%. Least. You know?
I think it's fair.
That, but still, man, the coach has them prepared every week for a new team. The feeling around here, Kevin, is that you prepare for you alone.
Yeah.
While the opposing coach, I don't know if you've thought about it this way. A lot of people like say the Patriots cheat, or the Patriots do things differently, or they find loopholes. Remember back when like the Redcoats were a big deal?
Oh,
how did they fight?
I don't.
They fought
but I've
war
heard about it.
In a square formation, right?
Yep.
Lined up, squatted down. You know, they fought in a very gentlemanly manner. What did the American Patriots do, Kevin?
We threw out all the rules and we won.
We fought guerrilla warfare, man. We're fighting from every. You never know where we're coming from. And I think that Bill Belichick has taken that to the next level. He really does.
By the way, quick step back. Carson Wentz follow-up test revealed a bruised middle finger from probably flipping off too many Philly fans. And he won't miss any time. Dallas Cowboys. 0-4 this year against teams with a winning record. They host the Bills Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but what's our record against teams that don't have a winning record?
6-1.
Wow, they're pretty good.
See?
But the Bills are 8-3.
It'll balance out, man.
So, oh, crap. What do you think the point spread is for that game?
3.5.
4?
Dallas.
Okay, just making sure.
Just because it's a home game, right?
7.5.
In favor of the Cowboys?
Yep. That seems a bit misplaced, given that I don't think the Bills are that great, but they are 8-3. We're 0-4 against teams with a winning record.
I think dry conditions, I don't think that Amari is going to get shut out, and I don't think that Dak Prescott will have as many errant throws as he had on this past Sunday. They're still, like, Tre'Davious White is phenomenal at cornerback. He's one of the best in the game. He was my guy. Whenever we were coming out of the draft there, but this their team right now, I think the Cowboys can pass on them.
What if the only way we get dry conditions Thursday is if you also have dry turkey? Would you make that deal?
No, I mean the roof is going to be closed, so I don't have to.
That doesn't change my question.
I don't have to. No, I am not answering that question.
All right. And you get no turkey.
I am going to get turkey. I like turkey.
Okay. Let's go.
I want to do a podcast beforehand called Let's Talk Turkey.
Okay, I'm here for it. Let's go to the Giants. Corey Ballantyne was terrible yesterday when he was the nearest defender on targeted receivers past the line of scrimmage. The Bears completed 8 of 10 passes for 175 yards and a touchdown.
Wow.
So basically, the Bears' philosophy was, we should throw the ball against Corey Ballantyne, and it led to an offensive explosion where in the first, second, and fourth quarter combined, the Bears scored 3 points. But in the third quarter, they scored 16, and they won the game 19-14.
Halftime adjustments, Kevin. That's what it's all about there. I do want to know, though, how did things work out for Saquon Barkley? Remember he told us over the weekend
that
he went back and watched film of himself and he said, I'm the best in the league.
He did not look like the best in the league. Mm. He ran 17 times for 59 yards. They did better than their kicker, Aldrick Rosas? Wasn't that great. Missed 2 field goals. Despite one of them was a bad snap, he said, if the ball is on the ground, I have to make it. He has missed field goals in 5 straight games.
Really?
That feels like at least 3 too many. Oh. Whoa.
No, I thought you were saying it feels like Brett Maher.
No, I was going to say it feels like at least 3 games too many, but that's fair too.
When would you cut a kicker?
Depends on their track record, but that guy.
But if they've kicked big field goals for you in big moments.
If I could actually give an example of that, I wouldn't. But if I just said that because I didn't have a good answer, well, then I would play him here. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, NFL clickbait. Who does Bill Belichick think is the greatest head coach of all time? Spoiler, he did not say himself.
Oh, I bet he did.
Nope, he didn't. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.